Coming up in about 10 minutes' time, talk to Gerda van Niekerk, the Kraaifontein Police Station Commander. They've had success there, turning a crime hotspot into a crime-free area. Just before five, we'll be talking to Duncan MacLeod of Tech Central about Telkom's very aggressively priced 4G data-led mobile packages. How's that going to change the landscape, if at all? After 5 o'clock, we've got Judith February on Montashe versus Fransman and the implications for the ANC's attempt to gain electoral ground here in Cape Town and in the Western Cape of what is not a faction fight, not at all. So Liam Keyser said so earlier today, and we'll also talk to Ross Tucker about Olympic matters, including the continuing debate over Caster Semenya. Plenty to come. I hope you'll join in.
John Meatham on Cape Talk. Call John on 021-446-0567.
It's happened a couple of days ago, but I don't think it's been much discussed, if at all, on the radio, and I think it's a very interesting topic. It's something where I find myself unable to come down firmly on either side, and this is the issue by UCT management to restrict access, to ban access to the campus of Fleming Rose, who had been invited by the Academic Freedom Committee at the university to deliver the T.B. Davy Memorial Lecture, which is usually around freedom of speech issues. And if you don't know the name Fleming Rose, he's the cultural editor of the Danish magazine Jyllands-Posten, and that in 2005 published a series of cartoons depicting the Prophet Muhammad, and that led to quite a lot of controversy, shall I understate it dramatically by putting it like that. Jacques Rousseau is chair of the Academic Freedom Committee. Jacques, a very good afternoon.
Good afternoon, John.
I thought Pieter Vos was quite interesting in his column on this in the Daily Maverick today, saying that once Fleming Rose had been invited, he should have been allowed to come. Once you've made an invitation, you don't withdraw it on what he seemed to think were rather spurious grounds. But he also said that he should never have been invited in the first place. Why did the committee decide to invite this man?
John, I am the chair, but I obviously don't want to speak on behalf of the entire committee. I'd like to just express my personal views. But the process involves receiving nominations from the entire university community, including students and interested members outside the university. And the committee considers the nominations received and debates their merits. And we choose the candidate who we believe is the strongest one in each particular round of nominations. And we chose Fleming Rose. I mean, there's a context here of things like ISIS and Boko Haram and threats to free speech and education presented by people who are on the Islamist, the fundamentalist Islamist side of things, and he seems to be a perfectly suitable candidate there, also in light of how we were struggling with issues of visual representation on campus, and things like the Rhodes statue had just started to become serious issues on campus. So somebody with a history of offending or at least facilitating offence on the grounds of visual representation seemed like a very suitable candidate.
But you must have been aware at the time you decided to invite Fleming Rose that there was going to be a great deal of resistance to that invitation, and that resistance might take physical form, and that physical protest against his presence might and probably would, given South African history, lead to violence.
In March 2015, when we made the invitation, the campuses were not, the context of the campuses was not nearly as inflamed as they are now. So, of course, we accepted and anticipated that there'd be a measure of dissent, but there wasn't really any reason to expect violence. And the South African and Cape Townian political interactions haven't been characterized by violence, and we were perfectly happy to cause controversy, and the idea that controversy should be a reason to bar somebody from speaking is an odious one, and we can all find something offensive, and just because something's offensive isn't a reason to not hear it. And in fact, particularly because of that sensitivity, I had corresponded with Mr. Rose and asked him if he'd be willing to join a panel discussion, people who might find his views offensive, and he was perfectly amenable to doing so. And we were planning to have the lecture and also have these ancillary events where these issues would be discussed, and it's a shame that the community doesn't get to hear that.
And you mentioned that this invitation was made at a time when campus atmosphere was very different from what campus atmosphere became towards the end of last year, and it's perhaps less so in terms of obvious manifestation, but there's still an enormous amount of unrest and unhappiness and anger seething underneath a relatively surface calm. In the light of the way that the campus atmosphere has changed, Do you have any greater sympathy for the decision of UCT management to say Mr. Rose is not welcome on campus?
My only public comment on this up until this interview has been to express exactly that sympathy. I regret the fact that we are in the situation that we are in, but in the current political climate, I can certainly understand the decision. I would like to have seen a stronger statement saying it's not something we'd like to be doing. I would have liked to have seen less explanation or justifying of the decision in light of spurious grounds like freedom of speech and so forth, but rather a concession that it is simply that the heckler's veto, in a sense, and the threat of violence makes this impractical or at least onerously expensive to provide proper security and make sure that nothing catastrophic happens. And so I certainly understand the decision. I think that the reasoning for the decision should have been far more transparent and honest about why we have to make this decision or why the executive had to make this decision. And I mean, there is particularly a case in which I clearly am not speaking for the committee. That is my view. I think that others in the committee might feel more strongly that we should have gone ahead regardless.
Mm. And Pieter Vos's argument that by publishing those cartoons in 2005, it was an act of egregious offence with a 4% Danish, with a 4% population, Muslim population in Denmark. Publishing those cartoons had nothing to do with freedom of speech and everything to do with saying to the Muslim population of Denmark, to hell with you. Your views don't matter because there are 96% of views represented by people like us.
I think that's a reading of the situation that I would like to unpick in far greater detail than we have time now. I think that supports a caricatured view of Mr. Rose. If these cartoons had remained restricted to Denmark, and Mr. Rose's explanations for this himself say that the publication and the society has a culture of lampooning and satirizing, and in his mind this was a way of saying to the Muslim community in Denmark, you are like everybody else, and we welcome you as a Dane into this culture of mockery and abuse and satire and whatever it might be. It was only once Danish imams traveled the world fomenting violence and fomenting protests that it became this thing that we all know about. And we remember the violence and the deaths and so forth, but his intentions were not at all aligned to that. And of course one can criticize him for being short-sighted, but to cast him as an Islamophobe is entirely false. And that's one of the problems that I'm seeing with a lot of public response to this, is that it's lending itself to a kind of caricatured view of Mr. Rose as being this right-wing Islamophobe, which in my experience is entirely false.
And Jacques, since I mentioned just more than an hour ago that I was going to be talking to you about this topic, I've received, I don't want to exaggerate, but somewhere close to 10 contributions through our various channels telling me that the university is being hypocritical because it is denying access to campus of Fleming Rose but has allowed an invitation to Hamza Tsortzis to visit the campus, and as Teresa puts it in the most recent SMS to reach me, he, Tsortzis, propagates a radical version of Islam. So one radical view is acceptable and another potentially equally radical view of a different kind is not acceptable. Do you see a link between the two?
Sure. I've had dealings with Mr. Tsortzis now for nearly a decade, and I was in fact invited to debate with him next week and declined because I don't like to give people like him, amplify the views of people like him. I do see some parallels but also see clear differences. The parallels are that the inconsistency here highlights another flaw in the executive's argument to us. If you are concerned with fomenting violence, if you are concerned with radicalizing people, which is one of the arguments that we might encourage, we might help ISIS recruiters, to put it very glibly. If that is a concern, then Mr. Tsortzis being here should certainly not be allowed on the same grounds. Where they radically differ is that the Academic Freedom Lecture is a flagship event. It is organized by the university. It's an invitation by the university at large, whereas this is a person arriving on the invitation of a student society who's not giving a public lecture, which is going to be promoted in the same way, etc. So it's not an officially sanctioned university event, in a sense, but rather a student event.
Jacques Rousseau, thank you very, very much indeed. Speaking there in his personal capacity, but he is also chairperson of the Academic Freedom Committee. If you have strong views on that, or even insipid views, share them on 021-446-0567, johnm@capetalk.co.za, SMS 31567, tweet us @CapeTalk.
EWN Traffic.
The heavy traffic out of town is the same as you would experience in the 5 o'clock hour. Traffic is extremely slow on the elevated freeway onto F.W. Clark Boulevard. That's due to reports of flooding just after the split.